Chapter 58. With appalling abruptness, the sky above the Mikhail Kurkov went pitch dark. Great black clouds rolled overhead, obliterating the evening stars, and the wind returned and rose to a wailing gale of 40 miles an hour, breaking the edges of the wave crests and carrying the foam in well-defined streaks toward the northeast. Inside the large wheelhouse of the Soviet ship, it was warm and comfortable. Prevlov stood beside Porotkin, who was watching the Titanic's blip on radar. "When I took command of this ship," Porotkin said, as though lecturing a schoolboy, "I was under the impression my orders were to carry out research and surveillance programs. Nothing was said about conducting an out-and-out military operation." Prevlov held up a protesting hand. "Please, Captain, forget the words. Military and operation are unmentionable. The little venture upon which we are about to embark is a perfectly legal civilian activity, known in the Western countries as a change in management."
"Blatant piracy is closer to the truth," Porotkin said. "And what do you call those 10 Marines you so kindly added to my crew when we left port? Stockholders?"
"Again, not Marines, but rather civilian crewmen."
"Of course," Porotkin said dryly. "And everyone armed to the teeth."
"There is no international law I know of that forbids ship crewmen the right to possess arms."
"If one existed, you would no doubt discover an escape clause."
"Come, come, my dear Captain Porotkin." Prevlov slapped him heartily on the back. "When this evening is played to the finale, we will both be heroes of the Soviet Union."
"Or dead," Porotkin said woodenly.
"Calm your fears. The plan is flawless. And with the storm which drove off the salvage fleet, it becomes even more so.
Aren't you overlooking the Juno? Her captain will not stand idly by while we steam alongside the Titanic, board her, and raise the hammer and sickle over her bridge."
Prevlov held up his wrist and stared at his watch. "In exactly 2 hours and 20 minutes, one of our nuclear attack submarines will surface 100 miles to the north and begin transmitting distress signals under the name of the Laguna Star, a tramp freighter of rather dubious registry."
"And you think the Juno will take the bait and dash to the rescue?"
"Americans never reject an appeal for help," Prevlov said confidently. "They all have a Good Samaritan complex." "Yes, the Juno will respond. She has to. Except for the tugs, which cannot leave the Titanic, she is the only available ship within 300 miles.
"But if our submarine then submerges, nothing will show on the Juno's radar screens."
"Naturally, her officers will assume that the Laguna Star has sunk, and they will double their efforts to arrive in the nick of time to save the lives of a non-existent crew."
"I bow to your imagination," Porotkin smiled. "Yet that still leaves you with such problems as the 2 United States Navy tugs, boarding the Titanic during the worst hurricane in years, neutralizing the American salvage crew, and then towing the derelict back to Russia, all without creating an international uproar."
"There are 4 parts to your statement, Captain." Prevlov paused to light a cigarette. "Number 1, the tugboats will be eliminated by 2 Soviet operatives who are at this moment masquerading as members of the American salvage crew. Number 2, I shall board the Titanic and assume its command when the eye of the hurricane reaches us. Since the wind velocities in this area seldom exceeds 15 knots, my men and I should have little difficulty in crossing over and entering through a hull loading door that will be conveniently opened on schedule by one of the operatives. Number 3, my boarding party will then dispose of the salvage crew quickly and efficiently. And finally, number 4, it will be made to look to the world as though the Americans fled the ship at the height of the hurricane and were lost at sea. That, of course, makes the Titanic an abandoned derelict. The first captain who gets a towline honor is then entitled to the salvage rights. You are to be that lucky captain, Comrade Porotkin. Under international marine law, you will have every legal right to take the Titanic in tow."
"You will never get away with it," Porotkin said. "What you are suggesting is outright mass murder."
There was a vacant, sick look in his eyes.
Have you also considered the consequences of failure with the same dedication to detail?
Pavlov looked at him, the ever-present smile tightening. Failure has been considered, comrade, but let us fervently hope our final option will not be required.
He pointed at the large blip on the radar screen. It would be a pity to have to sink the world's most legendary ship a second time, and for all time.